Today's Mishnah, Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Chamishi. And remember that we started an entire section that is dedicated specifically to the dinim of Tanur, Kiraim, and other Kelim that do not have a bottom. And the bottom is only after they are sealed by attaching them with cement to the ground or something like that. We spoke about the Tanur. Now we move on today in Mishnah Beit to the Kira. What is the shear of a Kira? Remember, a Kira is essentially a elongated tanur, but you don't put things in it except for the fire. You have two little holes above the fire, and you put the pots on those holes. They're very similar to the burners on our stovetops. So over there, the Kira needs to be a minimum. It's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. Unless it's three, this is not three tvachim. Note, it is three in feminine three, shalosh. There, a beautiful picture by Naftali. You could see you've got the kiraim on the right. The kiraim is the one with the two holes. And we'll talk about the single hole a little bit later. So it needs to be three tvachim, three etzbaot, sorry, not three tvachim. So it's very low. And the three etzbot is just long, tall enough for you to be able to make a fire with a log in it. And you put that log in, and then you're able to cook on top of it in those holes. And if it's broken, the minimal size of the broken piece is also three etzbot, not tvachim. And it too requires tigamer melachto. Now, what is considered to be the gemar melacha of Akira? Mishi asikena kedei levashel aleha beitza kala sheba beitzim. So the Gemara, remember, says it's very easy to cook a chicken egg. Other eggs are a little bit more difficult. And we're talking about an egg that you have been trufa v'netuna be'ofes. This is an egg that you have already mixed a little bit with oil. You've given it a good, what's the word for when you... You're toref the egg? You know, you... shoot, come on, guys. Somebody tell me.
Scramble.
Yeah, okay, but it's a scrambled egg, but I'm talking about what is the act that you do when...
Whisk.
Whisk, yeah. So it's well whisked, and it's put into... And it's put into a frying pan, and once it was heated up to that, that is considered to be its gemar melacha. Hakupach. Now the kupach, on the other hand, that is on the right-hand side of Naftali's picture, and that only has one burner, and that's a small portable burner, and it contains, because it doesn't spread the heat so much, actually its heat is more than the other, than the kiraim. You could show us again the picture. What? Every moment matters here, and these interruptions where you can't even be heard are very, very costly. Sa'ola afia. So if you made this kupach in order to be able to bake something inside of it, there's the picture Naftali showed us, so then, of course, it needs to be the same size as the tanur, which would be four tvachim high. And over there would have the same din as the tanur. It would have to be heated to the point where you're able to make donuts, bake donuts in it. Normally, of course, donuts are not baked, but those people are health-oriented. The soft dough donuts are actually baked, and it would be the same shear. But if you made it to boil things on it, so then it has the same din of three etzpaot and sufficient to be able to cook something light, the same way that the kira is. Remember our machlokas yesterday, whether this heating is in addition to the normal tziruf or whether it takes the place of the normal tziruf. That was a machlokas rishoni. Ha'even hayotza min hatanur. Now suppose you have a little shelf. So you have a stone that's been added on the side to a tanur. Do you have a picture there, Naftali, of that? Or it's too simple to have a picture. Okay, so if you've got an oven sticking out of a tanur, now that's useful as a shelf. you could put things on it, and especially if you want to keep things warm, you could put a piece of bread on it when it comes out of the tanur and so on. That shear, if it's one tefach, it's considered to still be part of the tanur. Uminakira, three etzbaot, is considered, both of those cases, a chibur to the tanur or to the kira, respectively. And therefore, if there was tuma, then the Evan, even though an Evan can't be Mekabel Tuma, but this Evan can transfer the Tuma because it's considered to be part of the Tanur itself. If it's more than that, then it's too big. Hayotze min HaKupach is also defined by the use of the Kupach. If the Kupach was meant as a small oven, it's exactly the tanur, just like it is in every other way. It needs to be four tefachim, etc., etc. If it was made lebishul, it's exactly the din of the kira, as we said. Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda, I went one moment over here. The whole point of saying only up to a tefach as a chibur and not more than a tefach, does that really make sense? I mean, and if you have a long shelf, a long shelf can't be something that's useful to have next to a tanur. That din, where they limited the chibur to the size of a tefach, is talking about where the shelf is jutting out between the oven and the wall. And it's not allowing you to push the oven back against the wall. But, and therefore, you don't want to waste that space. So more than a tefach is meant to be taken off and you're going to have it removed. And that's not considered to be a chibur. But obviously, if it's in a useful direction and it's not bothering you, why wouldn't it be more than a tefach? Also, bechibur. Hayushneita munurim smuchim zelazeh. And even in an event where you've got a milchik oven and a fleishik oven, you know, which maybe they hadn't discovered the need for yet in those days, but, you know, this is a Mishnah Shema Hatid. So if you've got two ovens, one next to the other, then each oven is allowed to have up to a tefach that is considered to be a chibur. But anything beyond that is tohor. And that's the idea which is the mocker, so amazingly, the mocker of the concept of yodais, which this is a yad as a chibur to a tanur, is of all things learnt specifically from the special class of objects that are tanur v'kiraim. And that's because the Torah says, tanur v'kiraim yutatz tmeim heim. And then it adds the funny words, utmeim yulachem. Well, obviously, tmeim yulachem. But the point is, tmeim yulachem, just like we always learn from the word lachem, lachem means kol shebetzorchechem. Any usages, additional usages that you make of them, that is where we learn out yadot, that convenient usages are considered to have the same din of the kli. We also limit the size of that from tmeim heim lachem, heim, but not yoter midai, which is beyond their need. And now we continue with Mishnah Gimel. Ateret hakira. Now suppose we have over here do you have a nice picture, Naftali, of an ateret hakira? Righto. So what we do is we make you see that lifted area above the kira that goes around it? And that keeps that area hot. It is not, however, the kira is in the middle and the ateret surrounds it and it's not considered to be part of it. So since it's not part of it, even if it's there, in order to make sure that the wind doesn't get to it and doesn't cool it down, it's tohar, because it's not actually connected to the kira, so that if the kira is tame, the atara is certainly not considered to be tame. Tirat ha-tanur, a tira could be a lotion of tirotehem. Look, see that? A tira is like a chotzer. Tirotehem chatzarehem. So what you do is you put a little area right up against the tanur, and then when you take the pitot out of the top of the tanur, you dump them inside that little yard, which is next to it, and that way they are kept warm by being right up next to the tanur, and they don't scatter all over the place. This was something that was common to use, and it could be that tira is also just a shortening of ateret, so it would be the same lashon of the ateret hakira. And there the halacha is like this. If it is four tvachim high, so gavoa arba'a tvachim, which is the same as the shear of the tanur itself, then it's metama b'maga u'ba'avir. So it's considered to be, if it was nitma, then the whole thing is nitma. If the tanur is nitma, the tira is nitma. Because over there, you really use it as one kli, and it's considered to be actually part of the tanur. But if it's not arba tvachim, then if the tanur is tameh, the tira remains torah, because since it's not a chibur, and it's not really large enough to be used together with the tanur properly, it doesn't do a proper job if it's less than arba tvachim high. So because of that, it's not considered to be a kli that's part of it. But if you actually connected it, im chibralo, you connected this little yard to the tanur, even if it wasn't very well connected, and what you did, instead of really putting it on properly, note Naftali's picture. Underneath the tira, you have three stones that you put under it to keep it up. And that way you were able to put a little bit of glue on the part that's connected to the tanur, and you fit it in. Now that is a very low class kind of way of connecting something, and if you're going to remove those stones, the glue is going to break, and so on. But even if it was just connected with those three stones, and it didn't really get high enough without them, it's still considered to be connected, and the tira would be tamei'ah if the tanur became tamei. So, okay, back locus of whether I need the three stones as the support for the glue, or the three stones give it the necessary height, and it doesn't have its own height. It would still be tamei. If you add a little bit of a container to the side of the tanur, which is often done, you make a beit hapach. A beit hapach is a little oil container. You want to keep the oil nice and warm. As many people bring, you know, olive oil mixed with some delicious garlic, put it out on the table with the challah on Shabbos. So where would you keep that? You'd keep that in the little oil holder next to the tanur when it's attached to the tanur. You got a picture, Naftali? No picture. Okay. A beit hapach, or you've got maybe a little spice container connected to the tanur. Or maybe you've got a place where you can have a light on the tanur so you can see well, and it's connected to the tanur. All of those things are mitam'in b'maga. If the tuma was inside of the, beit haner should be kira, I left. So oftentimes you put a beit haner next to a kira because the kira is not so deep, so it's useful. So over there, those things, if they were metame, the main kli, then these little things that you added to the side are also going to be mekabel tuma, because they're considered to be mechuber to the kira. But they do not have a din of being metame ba'avir. So if the tuma was metame without negia, was only metame in the avir of the kira, even though the kira is tame, surprisingly, these things are not. Now, this halacha doesn't make any sense, because either they're considered to be a yad or a chibur, or they're not. So what nafkamina does it make to us whether the tuma was through maga or the tuma was through avir? The difference is very simple. The halacha of these things being a chibur is only midirabona, because midiraisa, they're other kalim completely. But since when the Rabbanim make a takana of Tuma, they always make a strange halacha, we've seen this many times, associated with it, so that people should not burn Truma and Kachim, because they'll say, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Oh, It must be, it's the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan made a heker so that you shouldn't make that mistake. This is one of those cases, that it would be metama only b'maga, not metama b'avir. We met one of these cases recently when we were talking about tumas mashkin, that you're only going to be metama the outside of the kli and not the inside of the kli, weird stuff like that. That's done in order to ensure that people don't make the mistake of burning truma v'kachim. Rabbi Yishmael, however, that's different Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yishmael is metayer completely, even b'maga, and they don't have this takana of the Rabbana. Mishnah Dalet, tanur shusak me'achorav. Suppose, instead of heating the tanur inside, which is the way it's normally done, it was heated from the outside and the first time, enough to make those first-time donuts, which would have been enough for it to be considered a gemar malacha. But instead of doing the heat inside, it was outside. Or maybe it was usak shelo midato. It was even heated without your intent to complete the tanur. Let's say that the factory caught on fire and everything that was in the factory got heated. It sure wasn't the way it was supposed to be heated, but it was heated from the outside without anyone's intent. And even if it was usak bebet ha'oman, the idea over here is that normally we were talking about in the Mishnah where somebody, a householder, already bought the tanur and is heating it up in his house, which means that all the final touches, you know, smoothing it out or painting the top or whatever, were already done. Over here, it was heated in this fashion while it was still in the factory, before it was completely ready for sale. It's still tummy. It doesn't make any difference. As a matter of fact, there was the famous case of the big fire in Kfar Signa in the stove factory. And it happened that everything got baked, but not because anybody had wanted it to be baked. And so they brought the question to Barnea's neighborhood, and they went to Yavne to ask what the halacha would be about these. And Rabbi Gamliel was there, Rabbi Gamliel Paskin, that they're tamei. Timan Rabbi Gamliel, even though the heat came from the other side, even though the fire was in the factory, and even though it was a fire that obviously had been caused by an electrical shortage, not because somebody had wanted to make that fire, all three of the dinim in the Mishnah were in this famous factory of Kfar Signa fire. Mishnah Hey, Musaf HaTanur Shebaalei Batim. Sometimes you add a little piece to the tanur on top in your house, and you do that so that you can sometimes put something on top of it and it'll stay warm. It's not usually used, and therefore it's tahar. But in a bakery shop, Shel Nach Tomim, it's tameh, because over there, the baker is someich alav et hashpud. Since over there, the baker will also use that tanur for cooking things on a spit, and when he takes the spit out of the tanur, he puts it on the top. Therefore, he always uses it, and it's considered to be part of it, because in the bake shop were really very similar to our shpudiot today, except that they were more sophisticated, because besides selling shvarma, they also made the pitot or the esh tanur on the spot. That's the esh tanur, man. So we're talking about a serious esh tanur together with the shpudia, and so they made the sandwich all in one. Since that was their professional way of using things, and the shpud was always put on top and stayed warm on top of the tanur, there it's tameh, because there it's really a piece of the tanur, even though it was added afterwards. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, no, that is not a good reason, because that's a completely different use, and a kli is not defined by a totally different use. You add another piece. The reason, you're right, but for a completely different reason. The reason that in the Shpudiot, it's considered to be an actual part of the tanur is because sometimes they run out of space in the tanur and they've got a lot of customers. And because of that, they will sometimes actually bake in that little piece on the top of the tanur. Now, that's considered to be an addition to the tanur because it's the same basic use. So it's mipneshu ofebo kishu nitchak. That's because you've got a lot of customers and you'll be semich on that. Kayot sebo, a musaf of a yore, shel shokei zeitim. Over there, after the squeezing of the olives, actually, painters will do this as well when they're dyers. Dyers will do this as well. They use a very large yore, giant pot, and they would sometimes build up the edge of the pot with clay in order to prevent the water from spilling out, and they would fill it up all the way to the top. So there, where the shokeze team, that would be tameh, because there you really need it, because they are actually not makbid if they get a lot of foam and stuff that would fly over the edge. But dyers are very careful not to overheat, because they don't want the water to start rising. Once they do that, they kill the color. And because of that, they don't really need an edge because it isn't necessary. So it would be similar to a musafa tanur made by a balabayit, and it isn't necessary. And something not necessary and rarely used is not considered to be part of the ikar kli.